Hey man, how are you doing today?
I've been good.
You've been good?
Had a good day.
I'm excited to hear that, dude. Did you know that we have one of the coolest episodes about to start in a minute?
Late nights.
Late nights.
Late nights.
With Trav.
With Trav.
And Lowe's.
With Trav and Lowe's.
Late nights with Trav and Lowe's.
Do you know the legend of developer tea?
I've heard whispers.
So tonight we have a fantastic extra special with extra special sauce on the side guest for the podcast. His name is Jonathan Cutrell. Jonathan Cutrell is the host of Developer Tea Podcast. I met Jonathan a while ago. I mean, when he did like his about, oh, here he is now. Let's say hi.
Say hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic. And I was just asking Los how he's doing, and he's doing fantastic too. So it's like a fantastic party over here. So I was telling Los and reminiscing how I met you. And I met you quite early on in the history of DevT. I think it was like 6 or 8 episodes in. And given that you do a few episodes a week, you had just barely started.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm at 121 episodes now.
121?
Something like that.
So yeah. Much. So your schedule is what, 3 or 4 a week, right? What is it?
It's 3 a week now. For a little bit, it was 4 a week, and that was too much. I actually got some complaints, which was kind of odd to get complaints about the editing of your show, not the content, but that's what I was getting complaints about. They're like, I can hear the pops and the clicks, and I can tell you aren't taking your time with the editing. And so I was like, well, you know, I actually responded to the person and said something about it taking, you know, a lot of effort to put out 4 shows a week. And they were like, well, maybe you should scale back. And
yeah.
I was like, you know, I guess you might be right, actually. And so I scaled back.
I caught that episode where you were discussing with your audience the issue of being able to take more time to produce more quality content. How active is your audience in the production of the actual show?
Well, we have a Slack channel like everyone else does now. And now that Spec is kind of the overarching, I started Spec with the guys from Design Details, and the audience since we started Spec has been a different audience, first of all, and secondly, they've been active in a different way. So they've been more like fans rather than asking questions. So before Spec started, it was a lot of people, you know, being inquisitive and asking questions about their careers or, you know, simple things like that, where they would send in an email. Excuse me. They would send in an email, and then they would ask me, you know, what should I do about learning? And that was the biggest question. I always get that question pretty much like once or twice a week. How should I learn? What should I do to basically start my career?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we started Spec, it changed to people just being like, yay, thumbs up, you know, we like you. And then that was it. And it's kind of a strange shift in the way that the audience interacts, because now I don't really have a lot of like incoming material to work with as much as I used to. Does that
Wow.
make sense?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never really considered the difference, because you're saying Spec because it's mostly a design first audience, because of your network partners. But you know what? We're jumping into a lot of things that I really wanted to go into later. But let me just start with the basics for those people who may not have heard of DevT yet. Maybe you could give us a quick elevator pitch. What is it? What is DevT?
Developer T is a, oh man, I'm bad at elevator pitches. Developer T is a 10-minute podcast for developers, intentionally shorter than the average podcast, but we try to focus on a single topic and cut out a lot of the fluff that would be on the average development-oriented podcast. Not to be against those podcasts, but just simply to offer a different format. But also, you know, we focus on things that are really narrow. So I'll talk about For example, a very simple, you know, design pattern in software, and that will be the only thing that I talk about on the episode. So that was the driving reason for creating Developer Tea, was because I'd gotten into listening to podcasts, but the problem was every podcast was at least an hour long. Sometimes they were 2 or 3 hours long, and I don't have enough time to listen to that long of a podcast. I just kind of wanted to listen to one on my coffee break. So I was going to call it something like Coffee Break, or, you know, Developing with Coffee. But to be honest with you, coffee completely is already dominated. The namespace of copy is, totally dominated. So I was like, I just texted a few of my developer friends and asked them what they thought about the concept, and they liked it. And then I said, you know, what do you think about Developer Tea? And that's how the whole thing was born, was just out of like the personal desire for that thing to exist, and it didn't really exist. There are a few other podcasts in the space that actually do a great job. For example, Ruby 5 is another like 5-minute podcast, gives you the latest news in Ruby land, if you're interested in the Ruby programming language. And it's great. It's very well done. It's just a slightly different format than what I wanted to do.
That's cool, man. I like your name, Developer T. And
Thank you. It kind of worked.
You're welcome. It kind of worked in your favor that coffee was taken, because tea happens more often than coffee, and so your episodes happen a lot more than coffee would happen.
Well, coffee is kind of a morning thing, but yeah. Tea breaks happen all the time.
That's,
don't we?
That's right.
I have a lot of UK listeners.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. So one of the main motivations you said was the format. Were there any other drivers? I mean, for you personally, like, what do you get out of doing this?
I truly enjoy teaching. Let me back up. I truly enjoy learning. And the teaching process forces me to learn, number one.
Totally.
And so to be able to actually convey any of the things that I talk about on the podcast, I actually have to do research. And I'm forced to research 3 things a week now. And people don't think about that, probably from my perspective, is, you know, I'm learning 3 new things every single week, regardless of what happens elsewhere. Like, I have no other choice but to create new content, and creating new content fundamentally for me, I don't have all this stuff, you know, locked away in my brain. I'm still a young developer, relatively speaking. I don't have a long career behind me. And so I'm speaking from research rather than, you know, from a long history or wisdom that's locked away from a bunch of experience. So that's really kind of the driving point, was to create a lot of content. I really believe that creating content is kind of fundamental to doing the job of development well. But also creating content that forces me to learn new things.
That's interesting, and that's quite a big commitment. I mean, to learn 3 new things every week. How much time do you think goes into each specific episode?
Ooh, that is a good question, because I actually have not measured it.
Yeah, well, I know it can vary, because like an interview, for example, is going to be different.
It certainly can vary. It partially depends on if the episode is in response to somebody. I honestly can put together responses much faster than I can come up with my own content. Part of that is because, you know, a developer's job is problem solving. And when I'm presented with a problem that needs to be solved, immediately I'm looking for the weak points, and I'm looking for, you know, what needs to be firmed up in this particular problem. What can I do to you know, put the stilts under the parts that are weak? And that's kind of the, you know, every day in my day job, that's what I do. I look for the problem areas, and then I fix those problems. And so it really does vary. If the question comes in from a listener, then I typically take some time to think about the question. I'll read the email a few days in advance, and then have a few conversations. So this is kind of the non-traditional approach to research. Is this stuff kind of sits in my brain, and I have the time to sleep on it, and it consolidates the thoughts, and I have some time to talk with, you know, random coworkers, maybe talk on Slack with somebody, or, you know, whatever comes about. And by that point, I've developed a mature thought about whatever this person has asked me about.
If it takes that long to formulate a response episode, and you said that response episodes are one of the faster ones, and you do 3 episodes a week, you must be juggling a lot of different things at once just to maintain the consistency of publishing this content. That's just an observation.
The publishing process. The publishing process is very different for each episode. Sometimes I will sit down with literally no idea what I'm going to record. And one of the things I do, for example, I'll go to Reddit and look at the programming thread or the subreddit. Let me get my terminology right here for the people who are on Reddit. It's not a thread. It is a subreddit. Anyway, I'll look at, you know, the programming subreddit or the CS career subreddit and look at questions that people are asking and see what people are really interested in learning. I'll go to GitHub's top trending languages or top trending repositories for the week and for the month and even for the day and determine what are people interested in and try to build some content around that. But if I sit down without any idea at all, it takes a much larger kind of mental toll, because when somebody has asked me a question, typically those conversations that I have about that question can happen in the workday, and they aren't as taxing as sitting down and performing really intentional research.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does, yeah.
Very different processes.
Yeah, and the questions that people will have, are you going to be able to attack more naturally as well, because they're coming from a real place instead of sitting down and thinking, okay, what do I think is a good thing to talk about?
Exactly. And the truth is, you know, there's no way that Developer Tea or really any other podcast is going to be able to present the entirety of this practice in any form, really. But instead, the point is to give you glimpses into particular interest areas.
Right? Yeah.
And that's really the goal here, is to say, okay, There are some really interesting conversations happening around this topic in this time period. Let me harness some of that conversation and, you know, have that conversation on my show.
That's interesting. So with each episode, how do you measure success? What do you say, this is a good episode, this is a successful episode? What does that look like?
Oh, that is a good question.
wouldn't it be weird if I asked really bad questions all night?
Well, there's two metrics, really, that I, and this is probably a bad answer to a great question, but there's two metrics that I look at. Number one, did I publish it?
Wow, hand clapping.
That is a success.
I'm hand clapping right
in
now.
And of itself.
That's good, man.
That's I love that.
Yeah.
Publish first.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, you know, Developer Tea is going to publish things until people stop listening.
Mm-hmm.
And when I stop publishing, people will stop listening. And so that's a failure, right? Like, if I can't publish something, then there's no way, there's no lifeblood at all into the show. The second metric that I look at, perhaps somewhat naively, is the lifetime listens.
Okay.
And the reason that's naive, I think, is because, you know, if these episodes truly reach one or two people that respond to them really well, right? Like, if this changes somebody's life for the better, then it fulfills a underlying desire or an underlying purpose that the number or the volume of numbers, rather, can't really match up to. Right, listens are only vanity metrics, and they provide money, but the meaning behind it, the life changes. Like, I've had people email me and say, "The things that you've taught me have helped me get a job," and I know that you've said the same thing, Travis. That you've had people say, "You know, the things that you're teaching me are helping me understand how to become employed when I previously was just working a job that I truly hated," or you know, I wasn't employed at all, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So that's that like underlying kind of thread of purpose, that I really enjoy getting that information back from people. And that's not easy to quantify. I've had a few of those emails come in. And so really publishing, though, keeps that potential alive because it keeps the show alive.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I do? Recently, I created a folder in my Gmail called, what is it called? Motivation or something. And I stick all those emails in it. All the ones that, like, you know, when it's getting when it's a hard day to publish, go read an email of somebody you've helped. So here's one last kind of question directly about the podcast. And then I want to open up and talk more about the mode and concept of publishing in general. So about this podcast, Developer Tea, it's a two-parter. Can you tell me about the most popular episode and then tell me about your favorite episode?
Sure. I'm actually going to pull up the stats so that I don't lie to you. it changes from time to time. Okay. So it looks like the most popular episode is about daily routines and controlling impulsive behaviors. And it's going to take me a minute to remember exactly what that was about. But I can tell you without a doubt that this is going to be about creating a positive rhythm for your daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is leading by about 100 listens over another. The second one is 4 tips for creating a great developer resume.
Oh, that's quite different.
Yeah, very different. And that's the cool thing is number 3 is even more different. It's what exactly is a full stack developer anyway, which was a listener question from way back, back in March, actually.
And then the leaderboard kind of oscillates a lot, do you think?
Well, the topic from, you know, top post to the next post, it certainly does change pretty significantly.
Hmm.
We have one called Media Consumption Diet. There's one called Don't Delay, Say No. And then I actually have one of a coworker of mine named Patrick Hill. He runs another podcast called Master of One. And they talk about all kinds of things, but they talk about one thing that he really actually enjoys is collecting toys. And these are like the little vinyl toys.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very different things. We're talking about daily routines and, you know, this overall perspective of controlling your behavior. And then we jump to a resume discussion, and then we talk about the difference between, you know, full stack versus back end versus front end. And then we talk about a really specific thing in JavaScript, and all these things are in the top 10 episodes.
That's really interesting.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
I wouldn't know what to make of that.
I wouldn't know what direction to keep doing except for just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, just random.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, right? Is it seems like maybe this is not an artifact of the topic, but an artifact of the audience.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that?
In other words, you know, we have people that come back for the show, regardless of what the topic is.
Okay.
So it's not people who are listening to one episode and then, you know, dipping out. It's people who are interested in the topics of the show.
Right.
And it's an overall kind of collective mass where people are saying, yeah, you know, oh, we're talking about hobbies this week. Awesome. Oh, we're talking about media consumption diet, or now we're talking about JavaScript or memorization. Like all these different topics are certainly relevant, but the audience is developers and each of those topics are relevant to developers.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So what about your favorite, though?
Ah, that's an incredibly difficult question to answer because this is the weird part. This is the weirdest part of that. I actually don't remember every single episode that I've recorded. In fact, Travis, I think you mentioned actually a similar like phenomenon. I don't remember everything I've recorded. I've recorded so many. Probably one of my favorite, at least ideologically speaking or philosophically speaking, is the episode about focus. And that's the one that Travis and I talked about on Dev Tips, I believe.
Yeah.
Or that was one of the things we talked about. I also really enjoy interviewing people. I really enjoyed interviewing my coworkers. It was a really like an enlightening situation. You know what's funny about those top 10, by the way? I interviewed one of the founders of Behance, and his is not in the top 10 at all. I mean, it's not because it was like, you know, yesterday. It's been around long enough to be in the top 10, but my interview with my coworker actually is in the top 10. And I mean, his podcast is not like, you know, a blockbuster podcast by any means. And he's not known outside of, you know, outside of his podcast and working at Whiteboard with me. He doesn't have like a big public profile like the guy from Behance does. So I really enjoy like uncovering those not often uncovered stories. And Patrick is the guy that I'm referring to that I work with. He was one of those stories. He has a lot of really interesting opinions about, you know, balancing hobby life versus work life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, those kinds of episodes are my favorite. It's very difficult to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite kid, but I have 122 kids.
I have 102 kids. He's the old lady that lives in a shoe. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. I just want to talk to you about a little bit of, you know, a higher level thinking about DevT, about publishing. So the thing that struck me the most about DeveloperT when I first started listening, and one of the reasons I continue to listen to this day, I'm still subscribed, I still listen, is that you have a very clear message. And I was wondering if you could tell me what your thoughts are on what is involved in developing a unique voice for yourself.
Well, okay, so DeveloperT's unique voice, I would say that it is mostly informed by my personal value set. And I know that's a cop-out, so I'm going to expand on that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's a cop-out. I think it's very, very key, but I would love to hear more about it.
I have a day job, and I work from 9 to 5, relatively, depending on the day. Today it was a little bit longer, but yesterday it was a little bit shorter. But I experience situations each and every day that have so much to be unpacked in them. In fact, I have conversations with my wife all the time that end in me being like, I know that I keep on talking about this, but there's just so much to talk about. And I think those situations are underserved in discussion because people don't want to unpack the meaning of them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I was a kid, my dad worked as a helicopter maintenance pilot. So he would test fly helicopters after they had been worked on. He was in the military. And so he would test fly helicopters, and if they didn't pass his inspection, he couldn't pass them off. He couldn't say that, you know, the maintenance guys did their job. And when he was doing that job, I was probably in like third grade around this time. I remember very distinctly him teaching me about integrity at that time, because he very well could have written off and said, this is good enough. The airplane is not going to break. The maintenance guys did a good enough job, but he never did that. And the reason he never did it is because the job description was to report any time there was a failure, any time there was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Discrepancies. And so that value stuck with me, and I've brought that into my values as a developer. I've brought it into my values. When I teach people, for example, I had a question come in about when to talk to your current employer about moving on to a new job. And I've said on my show over and over, integrity is never something that you can give up. If you always act with integrity, there are very few times where that's going to have a negative effect on your job, on your professional life, in any way. However, on the flip side, if you act without integrity, it's going to have a very negative effect, potentially, on your higher ability, on, you know, if somebody contacts your old boss, if somebody comes to you and says, you know, what happened in this particular situation, if you don't tell the truth, that could come back and make you unhireable. You could become completely, like, thrown out, right? So I said when you first asked me this question that this is all informed by my values, and that is absolutely true, that what I believe is ingrained in the messages that I send out on Developer T. I don't think that I have the mental capacity or the desire to come up with a show that has a self-created persona that isn't actually me.
Right? I can't. So if people accuse you of being fake, just be like, I'm not that creative.
No, just honestly, I don't have time for it. I don't have time to fake it. The closest thing I can liken it to is if you guys watch Parks and Rec, the guy on Parks and Rec, the douche, if I don't know if that's explicit or not. I don't
the
know
what?
If we have to mark this episode as the douche. He's a radio personality.
Oh, yeah.
That is, you know, that he portrays himself as this really, like, awful guy. But he turns out that it's like an art project for him. And you don't find that out until way late. So, spoiler alert. But anyway, I honestly don't have time for it. I try to optimize Developer T so much. So I'm taking advantage of the fact that I have a personality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that that personality has enough to say and enough thought that I don't have to add an entire new stack of work to create a personality. I just use mine. And it's a powerful thing.
I think that's
I'm not trying to be, that could sound conceited, I guess.
No, but I think that's what makes you relatable, man. You know what I mean? You speak from your experience, you speak from your heart. I think that makes you really relatable. I think that's one reason I like DevTeam so much. Yeah, no worries. One thing I've noticed is that, you know, in your more recent episodes, you're incorporating more hard skills-based discussion. So on the way over here, I listened to the episode about facades and decorators, which is way more technical than the first, you know, batch of episodes that you've done. And I was curious, what difficulties and or insights have you come across from, you know, trying new things as you move along?
Okay, so this is actually motivated by a feedback email that I got from a relatively eloquent listener. And basically, he sent me an email. He said, you know, I really was a fan for a long time of Developer T, but recently you've dumbed down some of the content. And that was intentional. I started talking about some really fundamental things in the 12-factor conversations, which happened a few episodes prior to that, to the decorator and facade episode. So what I was doing is by responding to him, I was saying, you know, okay, look, I have 3 episodes a week, which is quite a bit, right? And I said relatively early on in the creation of this podcast that if you don't like one, that's fine. Like, you don't have to listen that day because there's going to be another one before you know it, right?
Don't hold your breath. There'll be more.
Yeah, it's like, it's cool because, you know, it's not like I'm releasing every 2 weeks and you have to wait until the next week. I release more often than your favorite TV show.
Right.
You know? So you can just wait a few minutes. It's what it feels like, right? You can just go listen to another one of your favorite podcasts for the day. And then when the next one comes out, hopefully that one strikes a chord with you. But if it doesn't, then just 2 more days and there's another one. You know, like, the worst case scenario is you don't like Friday's episode and you have to wait 3 days that time.
Hmm.
So I think, you know, testing things out in my scenario is really easy, right? And the reason it's easy is because I publish so often. And publishing often gives me the advantage that if I screw up, it's like it's diluted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to just kind of move on. And it's not like, you know, I mean, you think about 120 episodes, that's like 7 years of a TV show. And my running time is about the same, right? Like, that's like The Office. It's like 7 seasons of The Office.
Right. I really like that insight, is that being a frequent publisher gives you the ability to try new things and to discover quickly what works and what doesn't and move on. I really like that.
Absolutely.
If you were to coach someone into gaining their own unique voice, you know, where would you say to start?
Oh, well, first of all, you have to care about something. That thing can't just be money unless you're going to be like creating a voice around investing or, you know, if you're
my podcast is, I care about money.
Let me tell you how I make it and spend it.
You can make money doing something that you don't care about. And people do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it's really a natural way of creating your own voice. And you hear this from pretty much anybody who is successful, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to care about what you're doing. And you have to actually care about what you're doing enough to do it before the money and also when the money is thin. If you only care about money, or if you only care about, you know, the numbers or reaching a bunch of people, then that's not going to be valuable. Obviously, there are things that you need to know about the space that you're in. For example, in podcasting, it was important for me to do a little bit of research about what an effective launch looks like for a podcast.
Right.
Because the first, you know, 8 weeks or so for a podcast kind of seal its fate in a lot of ways. It kind of creates the long tail for the podcast depends on whether or not you're successful in the beginning. And that's something that's unique to the podcasting world. So there are concrete things that you have to know, or that maybe you have to learn about your particular space. But once there's like a minimum that you've met, once you've met that minimum, the rest is about caring about what it is that you're talking about enough to talk about it with conviction. And then beyond that, it's about caring about excellence, right? So I dropped down from 4 to 3 because those people who criticized my editing, even though it may have been like the squeaky wheel gets the oil kind of thing, even though it may have been the squeaky minority, I care about excellence enough that I want every single review in iTunes to be 5 stars, right?
Yeah.
Like, I understand the realities that not everybody is going to like me, but it can't be because I am failing to do the easy things.
Hmm.
And it definitely can't be because I'm failing at, you know, production quality and all of the things that are objectively possible for me to accomplish.
That's interesting. So to sum up that section, you said have conviction, talk about something you care about, and know the basics of your content. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's
that's pretty good. That's
content, but also that was a great summary. That was better than I could have done. Obviously, I just spoke for a long time about it.
I was extracting from you. I'm
No, I think it's also not just knowing the basics of your content, but also knowing the basics of the forum that you're speaking in.
Right. So the platform. Like, yes. Okay.
I mean, one of the things I attribute the success of Developer T to is understanding that the format was a really important factor. Like, you know, and mm-hmm. getting your voice heard is something that you have to study how to get it heard. You have to understand, and we're in politician season, right? Anybody in the United States and probably outside of the United States as well, you know that this is the season for debating and people basically talking as loudly as possible. And getting their voice heard is essential to their job, right?
Mm-hmm.
It almost doesn't even matter what they're saying. It's just who is the loudest. And once you are the loudest, then it's about what you're saying, right? If you're never heard, I could run for president today, and there's no way that I'm going to have the platform necessary to even matter.
I was just going to say, I mean, basically just to encourage you down this line of thinking, because one of the questions we got recently, and I wanted to kind of pitch it to you, is, you know, once you've got your voice and you're making your content, is how do you get people to notice it? And so I just want to push you basically down the line that you're thinking right now already. So continue. Sure. How do you get people to notice it?
Well, you have to... First of all, I can't answer that question entirely. I got people to notice my content through a couple of different tactics. Nothing is hacky, though. And anybody who tells you or tries to sell you a hack, they are a hack. Don't listen. It's not worth it. Like, there are things that will work, and hacks certainly have been effective at some point, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be sold. There
right.
are people who have become successful through the lottery as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the things that you have to care about are understanding, you know, what do people want? And you can start with yourself. I wanted the podcast that I created. And this is true for so many entrepreneurs. They want the thing that doesn't exist, and they end up creating it because they are the target market for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the target market for this. I am in terms of, you know, the job that I do, objectively speaking, my job is pretty par for the course, right? I do some front-end code. I do some back-end code. I do a little bit of consultation, and I lead some people. There are a lot of people with very similar job descriptions as me, and it's likely that because of those overlaps, there are a lot of people who will also desire the things that I desire.
Right.
And if that's true, then I can probably create something for those people. Right, creating something for people that are like me. Now, I can't really speak. I'm not a professional on creating something for people that aren't like me. I've tried it, and I'm pretty bad at it. I tend to be better at creating things that I personally like,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So your advice would be to number one, create things that you like, and number two, find the people who like the things that you like and pitch it to them.
Yeah, I think that it could go even further and say, you could say, you know, find somebody who needs something or is looking for something. Like, I've done even simple, really simple things to determine content, like going to Twitter and searching, I wish there was a, and then leaving the last part of that blank.
Clever.
Right,
that's cool.
Which is so
freaking
very
clever.
Simple, right? There's people.
It's
people
simple, but I never thought of that.
Thinking out loud.
That's cool. That's cool. That goes in the similar vein of you going to like subreddits and looking at trending topics or like what people want to know about.
Yeah, I've tried Google Trends. Like, what is trending? Uh-huh. But like, Google Trends is so broad. That you could look up, you know, React.js and like, yeah, okay, that's kind of trending. You know, like, it's just like,
yeah,
the subreddit and the Twitter thing, that's way more specific. And I like that a lot. Let me ask you one last question, and it's about your new network that you just formed.
Sure.
You recently co-founded a podcast network called Spec FM, and that's the URL there is spec.fm. What is your goal in starting a new network?
To make content. No, honestly, so the guys from Spec came to me and they wanted to form a network so that we could basically cross-pollinate our audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who otherwise hadn't heard of the other podcast would now hear of it. The other added benefit of having a network like this is, let's say you have a relatively large sponsor. So here we go with the business talk, right?
Okay.
Stuff that's a little less inspirational, but relatively practical. when you have a sponsor that requires, you know, X number of listens, well, if your podcast doesn't have it, then you're done, right? But if you have a network that has a collective of that number, you know, times a multiplier or something like that, well, now you have a little bit of leverage to say, hey, look, you know, we don't have a single show that has that, but we have multiple shows and, you know, all of them are open to sponsorship.
Yeah.
That is one driving factor. Another driving factor is some things I am good at, other things I am quite bad at. And if I don't recognize that early, then I'm going to shoot myself in the foot doing the things that I'm bad at because they're necessary. Right. So instead of doing the things that I'm bad at because they're necessary, I would rather join a small group of people where we all have different things that we're great at and only do the things that I'm great at and really, really become truly a master at. And at, so now I have somebody who actually does the editing for my podcast. Her name's Sarah. She does a killer job. She also does a lot of the reaching out to sponsors.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of what I do now is very limited to a much narrower scope, right? So I'm not doing the entire stack of the business. I'm not going through the process of accounting. I'm not doing all the things that I am not really good at. And yeah, it's not free, right? Like starting a network, there's overhead. There's new things that are introduced in terms of money flow. But the things that you lose, you gain in mastery. You gain in being able to focus on the few things that you're great at and become truly a master at.
This is the exact reason why I left freelance work. I wanted somebody to handle the billing for me, essentially. So yeah. So when people say, oh, you know, I was actually listening to this guy. This guy's it's kind of a podcast. It's on YouTube. And he just kind of reviews self-help books and kind of gives you the cliff notes, you know. And he was doing a Q&A kind of episode, and he was talking about, you know, the monkeys putting on the monkey suit and going to work and stuff like that, being kind of negative about people going to an office as opposed to working for themselves. And I thought about it in my perspective of the whole issue, and I think this kind of correlates to the way that you're approaching your network, is that what my employment allows me to do is to focus on my one thing. And the way that I perceive it is that these people, the marketers, the project managers, the CEO, they kind of work for me. That's the way I feel about it. They work for me and they allow me to do what I want. And the byproduct is that I get paid comfortably and reliably and am able to focus on my work instead of chasing my clients for a bill or attending meetings that I don't want to do just because a client wants to talk. I can avoid all that and just create the things I want to create. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because that seems to be the way that you're approaching the network.
Yes. So quite literally, they work for you. And the way that shakes out, for anybody who isn't aware of this, hopefully you are aware of this, if you work in a corporate setting, your company charges way more than your personal hourly rate for an hour of your work. Right?
Shocker.
In a typical, like significantly more, but it's not for, you know, just for their own profit, right? It's for the company profit, but it's also because they have overhead to pay, right? And so the people who are doing all of the paperwork for you, they aren't considered what's called a profit center. They can't make, you know, direct billable money for the company because they're doing paperwork for you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, they are working for you. They're giving you the opportunity to do the billable work to the best of your ability, to spend all 40 hours of your week or whatever your work week looks like, focusing on the things that are billable in your particular area of expertise.
Completely. That's awesome. So one last thing before we end, I want to ask you, what do you hope that your listeners will take away from the work that you do?
I hope that my listeners will take away, number one, that I care about them. And that's a very soft goal, but it's real for me. I never want to create a show that takes advantage of the people that listen to it. I never want to take a show or create a show. I never want to create a show that makes people feel like I am cheaping them out in any way, or giving them some kind of hype, right? Mm-hmm. I hate hearing podcasts that focus on, you know, call them what you want, but it's basically hype, right? I hate hearing podcasts that focus on things that haven't been proven or that are, you know, it's the same thing as clickbait to me. And I never want to create something that feels like clickbait to my listeners. I want people to walk away better people. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, it seems like a soft goal, but for me, it's very real. And then secondly, I want to create a podcast that increases the earning power of the people who listen to it. And specifically, I want to create a podcast that gives the people who listen to it the opportunity to create more value in the world and then be compensated for the value they created.
That's awesome. Those are great goals. And I think that anybody who does give Developer T a listen to will agree that those goals are completely authentic. And I believe that you're hitting the mark on all of them. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for stopping by and having a late night conversation with us. I know that you're on the East Coast, so it's an exceptionally late night for you right now. I want to just give you that appreciation for showing up, and also encourage all of the listeners of Late Nights of Travin Lowe's to definitely go and check out Jonathan's podcast. As you can see, Jonathan is an eloquent and well thought out speaker. And when he has time to do the research instead of just answering Travis's random questions, it's even better. So check out developert.com, and also check out his new network, spec.fm, where he and his friends do more content as well. And is there anything else you'd like to say, Jonathan?
Well, I want to say thank you. You have been overly kind to me since the beginning of Developer T. Travis, you have kind of shown that same perspective and desire for good in this industry and good for the people that you come in contact with. And Travin Lowe's, I really enjoy this show, and I really appreciate you inviting me on. And let me tell your listeners to subscribe to your podcast. Can I do that? Is that allowed? I don't know if that's allowed.
We'll take it, man. I don't care if it's allowed. We'll break some rules.
No, it is so worthwhile to subscribe to podcasts because you learn so much more than just listening to one episode. So if you are a listener of Developer T, especially, I want you to subscribe to Travin Lowe's. and then also anybody who listens to this kind of casually, whenever you think about it, it's so much better to just go ahead and subscribe. You don't miss any episodes. There's so many cool things that come with subscribing. So anyway, subscribe to Travin Lowe's.
That's generous. Thank you very much. We're going to hang up now and talk behind your back about how well we think you performed. Good night, Jonathan.
Perfect.
Thanks, Jonathan.
I can handle it. Let's do it.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Cool.
So that was Jonathan. Now you've met him. I've talked to Jonathan, I think, 3 or 4 times now. And every time it's just been a pleasure. He's a smart dude. What was your insights from the show?
Insights from the show.
Yeah, I mean, because I was asking most of the questions. You know, I prepare everything, and I just want to make sure that you have a chance to talk about what did you think happened.
It was great to listen. I like the format of your questions and how you led the discussion. Felt like a natural conversation.
Okay, I don't think I'm a good interviewer, by the way. So this is really nice for you to hear that went well.
This is good because what you're doing when you're interviewing is you, Travis, are asking questions that you're interested in.
I am.
Right?
Yeah. I want to know. Yeah.
Which is what one of the things that he talked about is, like, if you want to create something cool, like, first start off with something that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah,
So let's dissect that and apply it to interviewing. Like, ask questions that you're interested in.
And that's a great point. I mean, I'm a big fan of Jonathan's.
Yeah.
He's a really great thinker. Yeah. And it was... And everything that I've done with him so far, so if you're not aware, Jonathan had me on his podcast a while ago, and I've had Jonathan on my YouTube channel. And we've also shared over maybe into the 100 of emails.
Like yeah.
we've emailed each other a lot and had a few separate phone calls as well. And I've always just been so impressed with just like the clarity of the, you know, the way his mind works. He's a very clear thinker and a very eloquent speaker. And I found that to be true tonight.
Yeah, and I like what you tapped into, that he's a clear thinker, and that's apparent. And I think he had a natural knack and talent to be a clear thinker. And I think with Developer T and his ambition to like show people that he cares about them and leaving them as better people after listening to Developer T, and publishing 4 episodes a week and now 3 a week, has forced him to learn more in a short amount of time and be able to have a clear communication of what you learned to his listeners.
And I think that's a big part of digestion.
Yeah.
Mental digestion is being able to formulate it into a clear message for an audience. One thing that was interesting to me, speaking of just the clarity of his answers, is that I would ask him something like, you know, what are the difficulties and insights you've come across by trying new things? And he would spend, you know, 3 or 4 minutes on going kind of over here. And then he would come, without prompt, come right back to it. And then I would realize that the 3 or 4 minutes he spent over there were relevant to the question.
Yeah.
Like I was like, dang, that's good. Good storytelling. Like prompt, like, and you end with therefore.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, he tied it all together. It's good.
That was really cool. I have something else.
What's that?
That I noticed is when you were talking to him about finding his own unique voice, he went in, like you said, into like a 3-4 minute explanation of his voice, and that he learned something from his father, which was integrity, which goes in line with last episode we had on Travel and Lois, which was Get Stuff Done.
Oh, yes.
Which was about integrity, right? And it's amazing to see that his unique voice, he said, I carry my own beliefs and like moral conduct and bringing integrity to my listeners. And the way that he applied integrity is, I want to create a show where I publish every week, where I publish often.
Right.
Because if I stop publishing, I stop learning. If I stop learning and publishing, people stop listening. And so I like that he brings in integrity and getting stuff done into developer T and it's at its core.
Another way that I saw that theme kind of come into it is when I asked him about like how does he define success of an episode. And he said, did I publish it?
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Which I really liked. And that just kind of, you know, is the foundation of, you know, of publishing itself, of being the person who completes a task. What is the success metrics? Did it get done?
Yeah. I love
so
that.
Basic, but it's so powerful.
I love how basic that is, because in the previous episode, or I forget which one, we were talking about mastery and how mastery of any specific skill is about knowing the basics at a master level.
Right.
And the basics of what he does, first and foremost, at its most basic level, is, did I do it? He's a master of doing it.
He should put that on his business card. Yeah. All right, man. That was a really good review. Thanks again to Jonathan for showing up. It was late, late night. And thank you guys all for listening. If you have any questions for us, if you want to talk or chat about the topic, hit us up at TravenLos on Twitter. We also have TravenLos.com, where you can hear every episode that we've done in the past. Los?
That's it, man. I'm elated that Jonathan stopped by.
Yeah, he's good.
It was cool.
I want him here all the time. All right, good night, everyone.
Good night.